Every week, Nancy Pearl joins us on The Record. I'm Steve Scherr. Nancy Pearl is author of Book Lust. She is also a librarian without portfolio. How's that?
That sounds great.
Librarian without portfolio. What are you reading this week?
Well, two books, one for adults and one for tweens, middle grade readers.
Tweens.
Tweens.
Now, what's the criteria for a tween book in your mind?
Well, they're probably books that are they're more complex than the books for maybe third and fourth graders, but they don't have the kind of subject matter that we're seeing so much of in teen fiction these days. I don't know. Somebody else could do a greater description.
Death and confusion and
death and destruction and various other heart-rending.
Yeah.
there's a lot of good stuff out there, but it's not easy reading.
Well, I'm excited to hear this. So what is this book, Tweens,
The Tweens book is called, it's by a local writer, Dia Calhoun. It's called After the River, the Sun. And it's a sequel of sorts, although you don't have to read the first one to really appreciate this one, a sequel of sorts to a book called Eva of the Farm. And Dia Calhoun has written these two books in poetry, in very free verse, so that it's like a very long poem that just reads so fluidly, and it's just so lovely. This is the story of I think he's 12 years old, a boy whose parents were both killed, and he feels terribly guilty that he didn't save them. And he has been sent to live with an uncle who has always had a kind of bad reputation in the family. And the uncle lives on an apple farm. And the main character, Eckhart, just goes and learns to come to terms with not only the past, but to appreciate the present. And it's not preachy at all. I mean, this is I'm afraid that the way I'm making it sound is though it's too, you know, here's a message you need to learn. It's nothing like that at all. It's just a wonderful story of a young boy who has to learn to cope with the facts of the past and how he moves forward from that.
Okay, but in verse.
In verse.
Can you have a little sample you would give me? I'd be curious.
Okay, here's one. Now in his room, crouched over the violin case, Eckhart wondered if he would ever play the violin ever again.
What makes that verse and not prose other than the way it's laid out on the page?
Well, my cousin who taught, was a professor of English at Youngstown State University, used to just say that this is prose that's arranged differently on the page. So
not that I'm in any way downplaying Dia Calhoun's effort, because that's quite remarkable
it
that
is.
She's done that.
And we're seeing more and more books in verse from writers for teens.
Oh,
Ellen
right?
Hopkins does. I think all of her books are done in verse, and it's a wonderful way to get teens used to not just reading prose that's justified margin to margin, but rather unjustified prose. Wouldn't that be a great another?
That is really good, Nancy.
Right.
By the way, I really like the cover. I like the painting on the cover. It's just a very colorful mountain scene with the sun setting and a river in the foreground.
And deer. Yeah.
I know we don't judge it by that, but it's very lovely.
Well, you know, we don't judge it, but we can't help but be influenced by whether we like the cover or not. I think this is an excellent book for readers who don't demand huge amounts of action on every page. This is a much quieter, reflective, just a wonderful novel.
After the River, the Sun by Dia Calhoun. Unjustified. Unjustified literature.
Right.
What's the more adult version that you're thinking about?
All right. The more adult version is Elizabeth Gilbert's new novel, The Signature of All Things. Now, I have to say a preface here. I was not a fan of her memoir. And in fact, I did not even intend to read The Signature of All Things at all because I was so not a fan of her memoir. But then I remembered how much I had enjoyed an earlier novel of hers called Stern Men, which is set on islands in off the coast of Maine, where there are competing groups of lobster men. So there you get the title from that. And it's the story of a young woman who's growing up on one of those islands. And I loved Stern Men. And it's back available. Library has it. Bookstores have it or can easily get it. And because of that, and because I just thought about her memoir as a kind of aberration in her literary career, I picked up The Signature of All Things. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful historical novel that has such interesting things to think about. The main character is a woman named Alma Whitaker, who was born in 1800 to one of the wealthiest people in Chadsford, Pennsylvania. Her father was very, very, very wealthy and very eccentric. And Alma grows up with a terrific interest in and devotion to biology and botany and how this carries her through her entire life. So much of the 19th century is covered in this book. And there's a lot of books. There's a lot in there about biology, about evolution. And you see, as the book goes on, how the theory of evolution plays out both in Alma's own life, but then in the lives of the mosses that she has studied for her whole adult life. Mosses, who would have thought that mosses would be so interesting?
I think that sounds great. What's the title of that book?
It's called The Signature of All Things.
The Signature of All Things. Folks can write record at KUOW.org if they finished a book and they want a recommendation. Dear Nancy, I loved Everything is Illuminated by Jonathan Safran Foer. So much that after finishing it, I couldn't bear to read anything that wasn't beautiful. The book I found that lived up to this was The History of Love by Nicole Krauss. Can you recommend any other beautiful books?
Well, of course, Nicole Krauss and Jonathan Safran Foer are married. And, there's a lot of beautiful words going on in that household. It's kind of must be very interesting. Yes, there are some wonderful books that I would say. I'm assuming that what you mean are that they're beautifully written. And a couple that I would highly recommend, Graham Swift, became much better known with his book Last Orders. Do you remember that was made into a movie and everything? Well, one of his earlier novels, maybe it's his third novel, has just been brought out, reissued as an Everyman Library, and just a beautiful hardback book. It's called Waterland, and that has the kind of set in the fens in England, and a young boy growing up and becoming a teacher. And it's just absolutely splendid. Nonfiction, a book that I think fits that category, is Edmund Duvall's The Hair with Amber Eyes. I remember when that came out two or three years ago, came out in September, and I thought, I can't imagine anybody that I know who I couldn't give this book as a gift to, because it has everything in it. It has history, it has art, it has art history, it has World War II. It's one of those complete books, and the prose is absolutely stunning. The book I talked about, Signature of All Things, again, one of the high points for that book was how beautifully written it was. And then a much less well-known author and book, a woman named Leah Carpenter, her first novel is 11 Days, and it's the story of a mother and a son who hold radically opposing views on U.S. engagement with foreign countries. The son is a Navy SEAL, and the mother is an ex-radical who still holds many radical beliefs. And their close and loving relationship. And the 11 days of the title are the days beginning with when the mother learns that her son is missing in Afghanistan, and to the time when she discovers what happened to him. It's a beautifully written book.
Nancy Pearl, I said you were a librarian without portfolio in the sense that you have
Yes.
transcended like you're a minister without portfolio. They just call you in for your expertise. Proving it again. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Nancy Pearl joins us every Friday on The Record.